Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on this 13th of February, sixth Sunday after the Epiphany. It's great to worship in person with all of you here, and also those of you joining us online. Starting off with some announcements, and we have got lots of announcements. Just look at that front page of your bulletin. It's basically all announcements box. It's crazy. So buckle in. We've got a couple today. The offering plate, as you guys, I'm sure, are pretty accustomed to now, will not be passed during the service. You can find that in the entryway. If you're interested in joining us for our Shady Oak Bible study, reach out to Pastor John. His contact information is on the back of your bulletin. We've also got the Bible study on the book of James, which is on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. That's both in person or online if you'd like to join over Zoom. If you're interested in joining that Bible study as well, talk to Pastor John. He's the Bible study guy. Let's see, March 19th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., there's going to be a Stavanger Leadership Retreat at Inspiration Point. It's going to be a day of fellowship, Bible teaching, question and answer session with Luane Ragnes on church finances, recreation, and tours of the Twin Oaks location. That's Inspiration Point. So it's open to any adult who would like to attend from Stavanger. The cost is $30 per person, which includes breakfast and lunch. If you're interested in that, joining us for that, also reach out to Pastor John. Holy Communion will be offered today following the service in the library. So if you missed out on it last week, I will be serving communion following the service today. We've got our midweek Lent Supper and Bible study series titled Looking at Lent from Luke 22, starting on March 2nd. Also, today following the service, we've got a Super Bowl party with food and fellowship following the worship service this morning. So join us downstairs for that. The offerings for that will be going to the EyePoint scholarships. We've got a couple different updates on Giving Hearts Day. So Dr. Mathiesen, if you want to... Oh, look, it's already up before I could even ask. So this is an update for the Giving Hearts Day for Lutheran Brethren Seminary. So far, they've received $175,995, well on their way to their goal of $200,000. So to everyone who has contributed to that, thank you so much. It looks like they are going to hit their goal. We've also got an update video, a thank you video from the seminary.
Hi, friends. We want to take this opportunity to thank you. Thanks so many of you who have given to help Lutheran Brethren Seminary and our ministry. We set a goal, and we are so close right now, and we still have gifts coming in, and it looks like we'll be reaching that goal as a part of this Giving Hearts Day. So we want to say thank you.
Your gifts do so many things in preparing the next generation, but one that's really exciting me right now is the calling of the next generation. We have a couple of guys that are helping us real part-time make contacts with persons that God is calling. And just this week, they were telling me about some of those conversations. It's just so exciting to hear about that generation that God is raising up. Your gifts will help us to prepare them.
Thank you.
All right, so as a student at the seminary, I just want to offer my thanks as well for all of the generous donations to the seminary over Giving Hearts Day. I've got another announcement coming up this Friday. We have got a fundraiser to help fund the going to the youth convention. So I'm taking a couple of the youth here from Stavanger to the youth convention in Colorado, and that'll be over the summer. And so we've started fundraising for that now. Our first fundraiser is this coming Saturday, February 19th. We're having a Valentine's date night. So come get served by the students, receive some good food. The tickets are $20 a couple, and if you need childcare, it's $5 per every two kids. And you can come and enjoy a nice date night and get served by the youth. And also, your money will go to help fund this trip. So there is a deadline for the reservations, which is tomorrow, February 14. So I'll be greeting you guys as you leave after the service. So if you're interested in signing up for this, please talk with me. Or actually, just remember it, I'm going to be doing communion, won't I? So if you could talk to Pastor John, he will give me your name and the information that I need to sign up. sign up for that. If not, you can also text me or call me, and my information is on the back of your bulletin. So. Oh, yes, yes. I forgot to put it on here again this week, and I'm so sorry. The time for the dinner, the arrival time is 5 to 5:30, and there's going to be a photo booth set up, so there'll be some other things to do while you're waiting for the food to come out. So, yes, thank you, Pastor John. 5 to 5:30 is the arrival time for that this Saturday, February 19th. All right. We've also got an update for Giving Hearts Day for Inspiration Point. Look at that. You are on the ball, Dr. Mathiesen. So far, $84,547 has come in. The goal is $90,000, so they're also well on their way to reaching their goal. So both the seminary and Inspiration Point doing very well with these Giving Hearts Day fundraisers. So thank you to anyone who might have given to that. Now I'd like to call on Tammy for a special announcement.
I learned that Jesus died on the cross for all of us, and even if it would have just been one of us, he would have still done it.
That if we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we'll go to heaven.
I learned that you should love Jesus more than anything because he loves you more than you ever could.
You get tangled up in stuff in life, but God's always there to help you figure it out, and he still loves you no matter what, like, mess, tangly mess you get into.
My favorite part of the week was the Christ egg, because I learned how much Jesus suffered on the cross and that he did that for me.
That when you're going through hard times, God helps you.
Okay. This week, God taught me not to be hasty in all my thoughts, but to be patient.
God taught me to always seek him.
I learned that no matter how old you are, you can always tell other people about the word.
No matter how bad you sin, he'll still forgive you.
I learned that the best way to talk about Jesus is to show it in our everyday lives.
I learned how much Jesus loved me, and it just made me realize that he, like, died for me.
Camp has always been the highlight of my summer, and I've always grown closer to God every summer.
It's important because I can, like, deepen my relationship with other people and with God. And I can really understand more of life and people around me.
God taught me this week, no matter what, that he still loves you.
I learned that he died for us and Jesus Christ died for our sins.
That Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins.
Our time on earth isn't that long, but we have eternity in heaven, so what we do may not matter that much, but what we can do is share the word of God with others.
I learned that Jesus is always by my side and he will never leave me.
God taught me that no matter how much you've sinned or like how many times you've made a mistake, that he will always love you no matter what.
I was reminded of how much God loves me.
No matter the sin, he will always love you.
God taught me this week how to lean on him in all the times of trouble, and that even though I might be stuck in a situation, he can always pull me out of it, and he is my rock and solid foundation.
Camp is important to me because even though I go to church and things like that, this camp is just like something you can't find anywhere else, and it really helps me build my relationship with God.
Something God taught me was that all it takes is trust, and I was wondering, how do you go to heaven? And all you have to do is believe. And I thought that was so cool because he died on the cross and he did all of this stuff for us. And all he says to go to heaven is that you have to believe in him. So I think that's so awesome.
Camp is a pretty awesome place, and it's a wonderful place for kids to start, to continue or to start learning about who Jesus is and how much God loves you. Greg has told people many times that statistically, kids that go to camp are much more likely to continue in their faith and claim Christianity when they become adults. So it's very valuable. It's just a fun place to learn and get to grow in your faith. And we just really encourage kids to go, so much so that the church has decided to give $250 for each child that wants to go to camp this summer. So we're raising money for that, and the proceeds from the fellowship offering today downstairs in the kitchen will be going towards Inspiration Point scholarships for kids to be able to go to camp. There's always information on the bulletin right over here that has updates on the new weeks available. There's brochures in three different places, both the doors and also by the bulletin board here, that has all of the dates available and information on camp. If you ever have any questions, you're always free to ask me. I try to get to camp as often as I can. I think it's a great place to go. You learn new songs, you make new friends, and the best part, though, is that you learn about how much God loves you and how important you are to Him. So I encourage you to support the camp and encourage your kids to go, or your grandkids.
Thank you, Tammy. I think that's all of the announcements. Are there any others that I've missed? All right. Sounds like we're done with announcements. Now, as we begin our worship service today, let's begin with our call to worship from Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Let us continue with a moment of silence as we prepare for worship today. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the one who plants us by streams of water. We know that we prosper and we do not wither because of your provision. We thank you for your goodness and your love for us. Keep us from sin and all wickedness. Turn us to your word, that we might meditate on it in worship of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to please rise as we begin to worship in song this morning with our first song, All Creatures of Our God and King.
A reading from Psalm 36, verses 5 through 9. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. Please take refuge in the shadow of your wings. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Please be seated and join us in the next song, Stronger.
Let us continue in worship as we come before God with a confession of our sin, and also hearing the words of absolution. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin, reading aloud under the heading Congregation. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I'd invite you to stand as we confess. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Now it is time to turn to the Lord in prayer. And before I do, I'll ask, are there any prayer requests that we should be praying about? I know we think of Jerry and Barb. Anything else? All right, then let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together this day. We come to you from a broken and a sinful world, one that is filled with all kinds of pain. We ask that our attention would be drawn to you, that even in difficult times that we experience, we would look to you and to your word for our hope. We think of all of those who are feeling the effects of this broken and sinful world, those who we lift up to you now, such as Jerry and Barb Thompson. We ask that you would bless them, that you would give them your peace, that you would provide for their every need as you promised to do. We ask that you would remember all of those who are suffering right now from physical dangers, from temptation and doubts, illness, those who are facing financial distress. We pray for all of those who have been affected by COVID, who are sick or who have become isolated because they of quarantine. We ask that you would comfort all of those who are feeling depressed and anxious and lonely. Remind us of your promise to be with us always. We pray for all of the leaders in our country and in our state and all around the world. We ask that you would give them your wisdom and discernment as they navigate making difficult decisions. We also think of all of our missionaries around the world, all of your missionaries around this world, who are spreading your word, bringing your word to every corner of the earth. We ask that you would go before them, that you would soften the hearts of those that they speak to, that you would open their hearts and their minds to receive the good news of your gospel. We ask that they would be dissatisfied with all other answers that are not Christ. We ask that you would turn them to the only one who can save them from their sin, your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would grow and strengthen your church in unity and in love, and that by your Spirit our hearts, our selfish desires would be changed, and that you would prompt us to love and to serve our neighbor. We also ask that you would bless Pastor John as he delivers your word to us this morning. Quiet our minds and fix our attention on your word. And now let us pray as our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I invite you to rise for the reading of God's word from Luke. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. I read in Jesus' name. When he went down with them and stood on a level place, a large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Tammy and I have a dear friend by the name of Cynthia. I first met Cynthia at the Lutheran Bible Institute of Seattle, where we were both students. She was a person who was no stranger to struggles in her life, but you wouldn't know that from her demeanor. She would always greet you with a genuine smile. And the thing about Cynthia that I noticed, and most people seem to notice first and remember, was her response to the common greeting, "How are you?" Most of us, without thinking, say "fine," whether we feel fine or not, because most people don't want to hear how we really are. They're just being polite and friendly and trying to go their way. Well, Cynthia didn't want to lie. She didn't want to go on and on for people who didn't want to hear about it. And she wanted to say something that was positive and uplifting. So when you ask Cynthia the question, "How are you?" you would inevitably get the answer, "Blessed." And she'd simply smile and go on her way. "How are you, Cynthia?" "Blessed." Now, for those who aren't used to that response, they might stop and ask, "Blessed, what do you mean?" Well, what she meant is, because of Jesus, she is blessed. And that isn't changed by how she's feeling that day or what kind of day she's having. It's still true. She's still blessed. So, it's succinct, it's true, and it's uplifting. Blessed. It could be a starter for a conversation. Or it could just remind a fellow believer that he or she too is blessed. And I think too it served to remind Cynthia of that truth. We all need reminders. In today's scripture passage, Jesus does not ask his disciples how they are. He straight up tells them, "You are blessed." And why does he do this? Well, Jesus' disciples, his followers, they need to be told. We need to be told. Why? And what does he mean, Jesus, when he says, "You're blessed when you're poor"? Oh. In what way? Or, "You're blessed when you're hungering." Well, hungering for what? Or weeping? What is it a virtue to be poor? Is it somehow praiseworthy to be hungry or sad? Or to have people saying nasty things about you? Are those good things? Is Jesus lifting those up as desirable? Well, no. No. But what he is doing is he's reminding us of a greater truth that overcomes any of those things. We learn this if we look at the passage. We get some clues to what is going on here and what Jesus means by being blessed in all these less than seemingly blessed conditions or situations. If we go back to verses 17 and 19, In the passage, it says many people were coming from all over the region to hear him and to be healed from their diseases. Now these people certainly had physical needs. There were terrible sicknesses and infirmities of all types in that day and age, you know, and minus the kind of medical care that we have available to us today. Yesterday, we received in the mail a mailing with a letter and a brochure about the ministry of a mercy ship. It's this large, like, cruise ship that's a floating hospital. And it's staffed by volunteer Christian doctors, nurses, and other medical technicians. And they go and they pull into ports in places like Africa, and people line up by the thousands for treatment of all kinds of sicknesses and disabilities. The brochure, as you can imagine, had pictures of children with terrible deformities, limbs bent in directions that they were never meant to be bent in, terribly large and dangerous tumors the size of a football on their neck or face. And then another set of pictures after they had received treatment. Nothing short of amazing. Their appearance and health had been given back to them. Mercy had been shown. The people in Jesus' day were flocking to him to receive mercy, to receive healing, to receive help from their physical afflictions. They tried to touch him, it says, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Later in Luke 9, Jesus, we read, he feeds a crowd of 5,000. In Luke 8, Jesus stops the wailing for a girl who had died by making her live again. The sorrow of parents whose daughter had died turned to astonishment. Jesus is concerned about our physical needs, as he demonstrates by his actions. Our physical and emotional well-being, that God is concerned about, this is attested all throughout Scripture. We can read in Isaiah 53, as it prophesies about Jesus, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows." John writes in his first epistle, "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity in him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, do not let us love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." But the need of these people coming to Jesus was more than just physical or emotional, significant as those are, and as important to all of us as those needs are. Their need was spiritual as well. And Luke states in chapter 6, verse 18, that the people came to him not only to be healed of their diseases, but also to hear him, what he had to say. If we go back to chapter 4 in Luke, Jesus, when he was in Capernaum, Luke reports that people were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. They said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives order to evil spirits and they come out." And so also in our passage for today, we see those who were troubled by evil spirits were cured. Now, Jesus was concerned and still is concerned for our whole being, body, soul, and spirit. He who raised the paralyzed man also forgave that man's sins. The people who came to Jesus had physical needs, but their need went way beyond only what could be tasted, touched, smelled, or seen with our human senses or understood with our human understanding. In Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount, which bears a lot of similarity to this passage, it's the one that we're perhaps more familiar with, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Not just physical poverty we're talking about, but spiritual poverty. "And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who want to see right done in the world. We look in our world today and we see a lot of things that are just not right and not moving in the direction of right. There's so much wrong. But we don't have to look too far to see something wrong. Just look right inside each and every one of us. When we realize we live in a world that's not right, and when we realize we're not right, and long and hunger for that righteousness, to be in harmony with God and His purposes for us, and His character and who He is. That kind of hunger. Jesus says when we have that kind of hunger, we're blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When you realize, apart from the saving faith in Jesus, that you are spiritually impoverished and facing starvation for a lack of righteousness before a holy God, Jesus says you are blessed. When the destruction and ugliness of sin around you in the world and even within you causes you to weep and mourn, Jesus says you are blessed. Why? Because when you see the broken world for what it is, and when you see yourself for who you are apart from God, it's evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in you. And that is a condition of being blessed. Jesus says in John 16 of the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see Me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Even the truth about ourselves. Even the truth about our Savior. Jesus also said in John 8, if you hold to My teaching, you're really My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you realize that you or anyone or anything in this world cannot ultimately satisfy or provide what you need, Jesus says, you are blessed. You are blessed when you trust Jesus for what you lack. You are blessed when you believe His word. You are blessed when you have hope for good things He promises you, which you cannot see now. Even when you are hated, insulted, and rejected as evil because of Him. Now, it's not a blessing to be hated because we are offensive, apart from the offense of the gospel. But if we are hated because of Jesus, we are blessed. See, when we see poverty or experience it, hunger, sadness, sorrow, hatred directed at us or other believers, it's easy to forget. We can be tempted to think that we are not blessed. That's why Jesus tells His disciples, you are blessed. It's because we would not come to this conclusion on our own in a world broken by sin. The writer of Hebrews says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is what the ancients were commended for. We heard in Sunday school class from Romans chapter 8, but hope that is seen is no hope at all, for who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. The Word of God comes to us in a world broken by sin. The Word of God, the Word of our Lord Jesus, comes to us to tell us, in a world broken by sin, God has broken sin. He became broken to break the power of sin. Jesus is reminding His followers then and now that, to borrow a line from a famous speaker and author, we're not having our best life now. Not even close. The best life comes after this one. Jesus isn't advocating that we be miserable. No. He's advocating that when we face misery, we remember that we are blessed. It's a reality which we can begin to enjoy now, but we can't fully realize it in this life. But it is a reality because of what Jesus has already done and what he will yet do. You see, the one who told us that we're blessed when we're poor himself became poor. He left his home in heaven. He set aside his royal throne to be laid in a box that animals eat out of. Jesus, who says it's blessed to be hungry, fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and passed the test of temptation by Satan to take the shortcut. Jesus, who says it's blessed when we weep, wept himself at the grave of his friend Lazarus. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus himself was hated, excluded, insulted, and rejected as evil. Throughout his ministry and when he was nailed to the cross, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He endured all that for you, to give you his kingdom, to give you real satisfaction, to give you genuine laughter, to give you an enduring reward in heaven. Jesus endured all of it for you, so that you might be blessed. Well, tell me, what can you find in this world that compares? Who can measure up to that? What could be equal to what Jesus has already given you? So I ask you today, how are you? Go ahead and say it. Blessed. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John, for the reminder of just how good this news is that we've received. Please rise as you are able as we now sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. A couple quick reminders. Second Sunday communion will be served in the library just following the service. We also have our Super Bowl party downstairs, so be sure to stick around for that. Now hear this benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.